Well, good morning. Great to see all of you this morning. Let me begin by expressing my appreciation for the opportunities presented to me today to speak. I thank you for your willingness to listen to a stranger. Listening to Joe week after week must be unbearable. And I'm sure you jumped at whatever opportunity you could to hear someone else. I can say that because I have a great relationship with my in-laws. And Joe knows that I appreciate his work in the Lord very much. He has been an encouragement to me in the years that I have known him. And I just so appreciate the work that he does. And I want to take just a moment and say that I appreciate this church. I don't know you very well. This is only the second time that I have had any interaction with you whatsoever, but I feel like I know you on somewhat of a deeper level, and that is because of the things that Mom and Dad have said when they have been with us on various occasions. They speak highly of you, so many of you they speak of often, and it was good to put some faces to some names, and they talk about what a source of encouragement you are to them, and so I thank you. A preacher's work is made so much easier when the congregation he works with is supportive of his work. And so thank you very much. I look forward to our studies today. And you might open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be reading a couple of verses there in just a moment. It's going to take us a few moments to get there, but that'll be our first passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Joe didn't tell me how long I had to preach, so if I go over, it's his fault. I'm sorry, I didn't know any better. In April of 2014, George Barna, who is the head of the Barna Research Group, it's a religious research group that does studies about the religious pulse of America. In April of 2014, they released a report called The State of the Bible, Six Trends for the Year 2014, and they found some interesting results. I want to share with you four of the trends that they discussed in their research. But in the introduction to their study, they said each year Barna Group partners with the American Bible Society on the State of the Bible, a comprehensive study of Americans' attitudes and behaviors toward the Bible, asking a national representative sample of adults the same questions year after year allows us to track the country's shifting perceptions of Scripture. I suspect in April 2015, they will release another report, and you could compare that one to this previous year, if you wish. They came up with some interesting results in this study. First of all, they figured out in their sample that 56% of Americans remain what they called pro-Bible. And their definition of someone who is pro-Bible is someone who believes that the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit and there are no errors in the Bible at all. Over half of our country believes that about the Bible. The second thing they found is that skepticism toward the Bible is rising. You see the two percentages on the screen, 19% engaged, 19% skeptical. Let me explain what those percentages mean. According to this study, people who are engaged in the Bible, those are people who are reading Scripture 4 days a week or more. So 19% of the people in their study are engaged in the Bible, but 19% were also skeptical about the Bible. And in their words, a skeptic is someone who has somewhat of a negative view towards Scripture, that it is not inspired by God. It is really just a book of good stories and some good life lessons, but it was just put together by a group of men who wrote down these words. Skepticism is on the rise. Here's the third thing they found. Bible ownership is high, but readership is weak. 88% of households in this country own at least one Bible. The average household has 4.7 Bibles in it, and yet despite the availability of the Bible, only 37% of people in this country read it once a week
or more.
And here's the fourth trend that I want to share with you. The number one frustration for people who want to read the Bible is a lack of time. In 2013, 40% of people surveyed said they wish they had more time to read the Bible and that was the number one frustration for them, and it's up to 47%. And I suppose that there is something positive here. 62% of people surveyed said they wanted more time. They just don't know where they're going to get it from. How can we make more time to read the Bible? Now, as we pull all of this together, all of these statistics that I have shared with you, we notice something that's kind of interesting. The percentage of people who read their Bible regularly, 4 days a week or more, you remember the number? 19%. Despite the fact that more than half of the people in this country believe that the Bible is inspired of God, that it is truth, there are no errors in it whatsoever, and despite the fact that they believe it will change their lives if they read it, not a whole lot of people reading the Bible. Despite the fact that 88% of households in this country have a Bible, most of them have between 4 and 5, not a whole lot of people reading the Bible regularly. Now, as I looked at this survey and I was kind of reflecting on this a little bit, I wondered and I pondered this question: can we relate to this survey? We speak highly of the Bible. It's inspired by God. It has no errors. It is truth. It is life-changing content. We have 17 copies of the Bible in our homes, and yet we don't read it as often as we should. For the year 2015, the Westview congregation in Hartselle, Alabama, small town, about 10 or 11,000 people, the church there, we decided to engage in a read through the Bible in 1 year chronologically plan. And so we've got all of our members who wanted to participate in that. Of course, we have encouraged everyone to do that, to read their Bible 7 days a week, 365 straight days, reading the Bible from beginning to end in chronological order. And I know that you have just begun to engage in something very similar to that. And so what I'm going to share with you this morning, as we talk about daily Bible reading, I want us to talk about 5 benefits that we receive from reading the Bible every day. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't decided to do it already, to pick up one of those reading plans back in the foyer. And as here we are a few weeks into a new year, let's make the determination to read the Bible and become closer to God. I asked you to open to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to look with you at verses 14 and 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice what the Apostle Paul says to Timothy. He says to him, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy, I want you to be plugged in to God's Word. Now, without question, the writings that Paul refers to here are the Old Testament writings that Timothy would have known from his childhood. Of course, the New Testament writings hadn't been completed yet. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul said, "Give attention to the public reading of Scripture." I like the rendering in the New American Standard. The public reading of Scripture, like we're doing right now. Why would Paul give Timothy that instruction? Well, in a first century context, it's a very different situation than what you and I are engaging in right now. And here's the major difference. I suspect 95% of you this morning have a Bible sitting in your lap right now. But when Timothy was preaching in Ephesus, the saints there didn't have New Testaments to open and to read from. How are they going to get the Word of God? through the public reading of Scripture. And Paul says to Timothy, make sure that your congregation is plugged into the Word of God. And so we're going to talk about five benefits of daily Bible reading. Number one, daily Bible reading develops spiritual discipline in our hearts and in our minds. You know, much of our difficulty when it comes to Bible reading really just comes down to a lack of spiritual discipline. Like any habit that we have, whether it's a good habit or a bad habit, the only way to develop a habit is to do it. Whatever that habit may be, it's not going to come to us through some kind of strange process. We develop habits by performing those activities. And so, when we think about Bible reading, as we engage in this activity again and again and again, it becomes a part of our daily routine. It becomes a part of who we are. And we develop spiritual discipline. It's like any habit, and it must be done. I want to take you to a passage in the Old Testament. I'm turning to the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra, I want to go to chapter 10. I'm not hearing too many pages turning, so I'm going to take that to mean that half of you are on tablets or phones or something this morning, and I'm okay with that. That's fine. Let's just make sure that we're reading together Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Notice with me that Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. Ezra set his heart to do this. Ezra put his foot down, so to speak, and he made a personal determination to know the Word of God. Brethren, ultimately, the only way for us to read the Bible daily is to take the Ezra approach, to put our foot down and to say, I'm going to do this because I need to do this. God gave me this valuable Word, and it's going to change me if I will let it do that, and I am going to put the effort into that. Preached this sermon a couple of weeks ago, the first Sunday after the new year. And it's not uncommon for us at the new year to talk about resolutions and things that we want to resolve to do in our daily lives. This is the perfect time to start. We're already thinking about making ourselves better people. It's already on our minds to want to be stronger Christians, more rooted in our faith. And as we train ourselves each day, we create this good habit, and self-discipline takes place. Do some personal reflection and think back to previous times when you have tried to do a daily Bible reading program and it failed. I'm sure that's happened to you. It's happened to me before. Why did it fail? Well, you get caught up in your life, you get caught up in the kids, and you get behind a few days, and then a few days turns into a week, and then 2 weeks, and then when you finally have some time to sit down and catch up on your daily Bible reading, you're 139 chapters behind. And then you just lose heart and you give up, right? Or maybe this has happened to you. I know this happens a lot. It's happened to me before. January 1st comes around, Genesis chapter 1 is where you are in the Bible, and you read through Genesis just fine, and you get through Exodus just fine, and then you come to Leviticus, which we kind of look at like a phone book, and we would just assume read the phone book as we would Leviticus, and you get bogged down in the sacrifices, and it's kind of gross reading about the blood and all of that, kind of unsettling, and we lose our zeal. What's it going to take to get through? Let me stop and say this. Leviticus is a great book. There's so much good in Leviticus. But it is easy to get bogged down in some of that. What's going to pull us through it? Developing this discipline where we say, I'm going to do this. And we've got to take that Ezra approach. Here's the second thing. Second benefit of daily Bible reading, and that is it fills our minds with good. You know, the media, the television and the internet, it just saturates our minds with garbage and filth. And if that's not discouraging to you, brethren, something is wrong. When we watch all of the garbage that is on TV and the terrible things that we read on the internet and we see in the news, something has got to prevent us from taking that into our minds. Something must replace all of that filth. What could be better than the Word of God? We'll not look at this passage. You know it. Philippians 4 and verse 8, where the Apostle Paul said, "Whatever things are good and noble and true and honorable, think about those things," he said. "Meditate, dwell on those good things." I do want to turn to a passage in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. This entire psalm is about the beauty and the blessing of the Word of God. The longest psalm in all of the book of Psalms. And the psalmist has so many wonderful things to say about God's Word. I want us to look at a few passages. There are more than these. But these few passages reference the heart and the mind and what God's Word does for the heart and the mind. Look with me at Psalm 119 and verse 11. "Your Word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you." Look at verse 15. "I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word." The heart is involved. The mind is involved. Look at verse 97. "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." The heart and the mind. And those two things need to be filled with things that bring us closer to God, things that encourage us in the ways of God, and where we go to get that is in the Word of God. Number three, daily Bible reading helps us see how to tie Scripture together. Helps us see how the Bible fits together. Now, the plan that we are doing back in Alabama is a chronological reading plan, and you certainly don't have to do that. That's not the only way to read through the Bible. But as you probably know, the Bible is not arranged in chronological order. Some portions of it are, but by and large, the Bible is not in chronological order. And so if you just read through it from Genesis to Revelation as it is printed, there is certainly good in that, but that may not be the best thing if you're trying to learn how to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. Chronological Bible reading can make the Bible come alive in new ways that you've never seen before. For example, when you read through the books of 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, those books of history, and you've got this king who became king at age such and such, and he lived for so many years and he died, and he was a good king or a bad king. You read through those books of history, but when you read through them chronologically, you see where the prophets fit into those books. And as you read about the reign of this king, you understand that Isaiah was prophesying at the same time. They were contemporaries of one another. And so then you go read what Isaiah said, and the light bulb goes off. That's why he said that. This is what was going on in history. Or you read about the message of Joel or Amos or Obadiah, and it begins to make much more sense to us when we can put the pieces into the broader framework of history. You come to the New Testament and you read through the book of Acts. You can read through that history and you can trace the journeys of Paul as he traveled to Ephesus and Philippi and Thessalonica and all of these various places. And he would go back later and write letters to them, encouraging and teaching those churches. Well, when you understand the history, and you're able to see when Paul wrote this letter, it comes alive in ways that you've never seen before. The Bible will become so much more exciting when we grasp the history and see how it fits. Benefit number four, daily Bible reading increases family togetherness. It increases family togetherness. This is a great way to spend more time together as a family. And brother and sister, if we could speak frankly, we need family together time. We need time where mom and dad and the kids can sit down at the dinner table, share a meal, and talk about their day. You do have a dinner table, don't you? How often do you use it? Sitting on the couch in front of the TV, eating our meal, I'm not saying we can't ever do that. But we need time to sit together without the distractions of the telephone and the iPad or the iPod or the iPhone or any other gadget that begins with a lowercase I. And we need to talk to each other. And we need to spend this time together. Encourage your kids to get involved in daily Bible reading too. Do it together. Now, that's not necessarily something that you've got to do as you're all sitting around a table at one time every day. I understand that may not be practical and convenient. But at some point each day, every person in the family is going to read the designated portion of Scripture. And then at some point, each day, one day a week, whatever your schedule can allow, get together and talk about what you've read that week. You sit down at the table to eat dinner and say, "Son, tell me about something interesting you read this week." Or, "Sweetie, did you read anything this week that just stuck out to you, that you thought was really interesting? Maybe something you've never noticed before?" What better things could we talk about with our kids than the teaching of God's Word? I want to share with you a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'm sure you know this passage well. Deuteronomy 6, you remember Moses instructing the parents in the nation of Israel about how they can reach their kids and what they should talk to their kids and their grandkids about. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6, "These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." I don't know that I can think of a more practical application of this passage than to do what I've been discussing for the last few moments. Getting the family involved, reading the Bible together, sitting around the table talking about the week's reading. It increases family time. And I'll just pause and say this leads to many other benefits as well. Number five. Daily Bible reading transforms your life more than any other spiritual activity. Now you say, "Wait a minute, how do you know that?" That's quite a claim. That's quite a statement. To say that daily Bible reading is going to impact your life more than prayer, regular worship, assembling with saints outside of worship contexts and other social gatherings, surely all of those things have their place, and they do. But none of those things have as large an impact on your life as daily Bible reading does. Let me back this up. In 2012, the Center for Bible Engagement released a comprehensive study of the effects of daily Bible reading. I'm going to give you some more statistics here. And they said that for more than 8 years, the Center for Bible Engagement has researched the spiritual lives of more than 100,000 people from around the world. An 8-year study involving a sample of over 100,000 people from around the world. Pretty diverse group. They go on to say that the findings consistently show that engaging the Bible 4 or more days a week is the single most powerful predictor of spiritual growth. I've read through this study a number of times, and I am just amazed at the findings that they gathered in this study. I'm going to share with you just a few of them. They controlled for various things and various variables in their analysis. And here are some of the statistics that they came up with. They said that if a person engages the Bible at least 4 times a week, whether it be through reading the Bible or listening to the Bible being read, if you are connected to the Word of God in some fashion 4 days a week or more, the odds of you giving in to these temptations decreases by these percentages. Viewing pornography, you're 59% less likely. You're 59% less likely to have an affair when you're plugged into the Word of God 4 days a week or more. You're 45% less likely to gamble, lashing out in anger, 31% less likely. You're 28% less likely to gossip, and the same percentage for lying. Isn't this interesting? That if you read the Bible, or if you are engaged in the Bible 4 days a week or more, you are less likely to engage in those sinful activities. Here's something else they found. That those who engage the Bible at least 4 days a week are 60% less likely to feel spiritually stagnant. You ever go through periods where you know your faith is not what it should be? That your spiritual life seems to be drying up in some way, and you want to do something about that, but you're not sure what to do? This study found getting in your Bible 4 days a week or more, it'll help that. 60% less likely to feel that way. They went on to say that the Bible engagement also produces more peace and joy in a person's life by reducing the frequency of various emotional struggles. Look at these percentages. You're 40% less likely to feel bitter, 32% less likely to think destructively about yourself or about others. The same percentage in regards to feeling like you have to hide your activities or your feelings. You're 31% less likely to have difficulty forgiving others. The same percentage less likely to feel discouraged in your spiritual life. And you're 30% less likely to experience loneliness. Here's what I'm suggesting that this study shows. The Bible makes us better, happier, can I tell you what I love most of all about this study? Is that it confirms what God has been saying to us all along. God has been saying to men in His Word for centuries that if we will put His Word into our hearts, we will be better people spiritually. We will be happier people spiritually. We will be better servants of His if we plug in to His Word. We read Psalm 119 in verse 11. Your Word I have treasured in my heart so that I will not sin against you. Isn't that what this study found? That when God's Word is in our heart, we are less likely to sin against the Lord. Or how about the well-known passage of 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17? That all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped or complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's Word gives us the correction we need. It trains us in righteous living, and it equips us for all good things in His service. One more passage I want us to look at together. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul says to this church, we pray for you daily that you will be filled with the knowledge of the will of God and that you will be wise and understanding in the will of God. Why? Look at verse 10. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul says that we want you to have this wisdom and understanding of the knowledge of the will of God because it affects the way you live. Because when you have that knowledge and that wisdom and that understanding, that is going to translate into a worthy walk, into a walk that is seeking to honor and obey God. The Word transforms the walk. Don't you love it when science confirms what God has already said? I think sometimes we look at studies like this and we think we've discovered something new. And we get real proud of ourselves. Look what we humans have discovered. Aren't we smart? And God looks down at us and He says, you dummies, I've been telling you this for years. We didn't have to do this study to find this out, did we? Now, we might have needed to do the study to get those percentages. But were any of you really shocked this morning to find out that God's Word makes us better people? Of course you weren't. The benefits of daily Bible reading, keeping us plugged in to our daily bread, is so rich. And there are more benefits, of course, that we could have discussed. But I leave you with these five. I hope that as you begin this Bible reading schedule, I hope you'll challenge yourself. And that you will put your foot down and say, I am going to be plugged into God's Word every day. You know, when you're only reading three or four chapters a day, which I believe is what your schedule calls for, really doesn't take much longer than 20 or 30 minutes at the most. You'll be amazed at how much benefit comes from such a short amount of time. God bless you in your reading of His Word. Hope the lesson's been helpful. There may be someone here this morning who doesn't know the joy and the peace and the happiness that comes from being one of God's children. We want you to know that peace and that joy and that happiness. And we are here to help you in whatever capacity is necessary. We simply ask that as we sing this invitation song in just a moment, that you come forward and make your request known, and one of the men, Joe or someone else here, will be more than happy to assist you in whatever your needs are. Make a determination. Serve the Lord. And do it with all of your heart. Because therein lies true blessedness. We're here to assist if you'll come as we stand and sing.